Let us now turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We'll read the first 22 verses of this chapter, beginning to read them with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend, whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, "Why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me?" Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So Jonadab said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand.'" Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please, let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand." And David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. Then she took flour and kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." And they all went out from him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. Then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out, away from me," and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head, tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now, hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. May the Lord bless us in our study of this passage. The title of the message is "Amnon Had a Friend." Sometimes there's a verse of scripture that just leaps out at you, and you see that it is so resplendent with meaning, sometimes ironic meaning. And that's the way this is here. Amnon had a friend. This is the story today in the scriptures of a great calamity. A calamity that in its seed worked to civil war in the nation of Israel. You think of the shame of that. You think of the agony of that, how God's own people, God's own nation would come to blows against each other and separate. How could that possibly have happened? And in this chapter, we learn that one of the contributing causes was friendship. Friendship, though, after a fashion. Not friendship after a godly fashion, but friendship after a satanic fashion. A friend. Hopefully, after the sermon today, we will all want to be true friends to one another. We cannot commit adultery with each other's spouses, and really be friends. We cannot be friends with each other and wish for each other's economic ill. We cannot be friends with each other and work to each other's undoing. To be a friend means to really love each other. And when we love each other, it's like the eighth commandment and being happy for each other's riches. You know, you hear that someone just got a job or just got a raise or a promotion. The first thought that comes to your heart is, oh, how wonderful. This family needs it. It will be better for them. That exemplifies love. But if on the other hand, the first thought that comes to your mind is, why has God not blessed me like he blessed so-and-so? And then you begin to struggle with that. And you're envious and covetous and that sort of thing. That's the opposite of love. And in this account today, we see where there were all kinds of problems, and none of them were dealt with in a godly way. And worst of all, Amnon had a friend who complicated the history of Israel with his subtlety and his divisiveness. So let us look at this. Let us consider friendship and its possibilities, also its liabilities. Amnon had a friend. What was the outcome of this? Well, we see in the very first two verses, we see dangerous circumstances. Dangerous circumstances. It says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Absalom, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. We have a multitude of problems right away in these first two verses. First of all, we see that we have two families of David. Absalom is not brought up here, but Absalom and Amnon came from two different wives of David because of his multiple wives that he took after a while. Remember, he started out marrying Michal, but Saul took Michal away from him, so there was injustice done to Saul. No doubt that fueled David's justification for some of the things that happened later. But then, when he was on the run in the wilderness, he took Abigail as his wife. She was a godly woman, very wise, very godly woman. But then after that, he took other wives. Some of them were international treaties, and easy to understand. Perhaps he did not have to really live those marriages. Perhaps they could have simply been for the sake of the honor and the treaty and that sort of thing. But even there, we can see better ways of doing those things, better examples that David could have set for the nations around him. But whatever, he has a number of women that bore him children. Now Bathsheba is in the mix with Solomon. So Absalom, it says, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So we have these two families, and we have a brother getting affectionate and developing and cultivating a marital love or a sexual love for his stepsister. Now we know that the Bible says that any kind of incest is very, very wrong. We think of Lot, and when he was chased out of Sodom by the Lord, instead of going to Abraham and Abraham's people, he went up into the hills. We don't know what was in Lot's mind, but he was there with his daughters, and the daughters, finally, they wanted children, and so they began to have incest with their father there in the wilderness. And they obtained children through this incestuous relationship. And the children were Moab and Ammon, the father of the Moabites and the Ammonites, both persistent enemies of Israel from that time forward. So that's our introduction to incest. If we think of polygamy, we go back in Genesis, to Genesis 4, and we go back to the family of Cain. Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. God did not take Cain's life immediately, but let him live. But Cain fathered a whole family of reprobates, a family that did not love the Lord. Polygamy. It's never a good idea. From the very first examples in the Bible, this is one of the problems when people insist that God is not allowed to teach us by example, but only by word. We know that God teaches us by word, but he also teaches us by example. He exemplifies a whole way of life in the first week of Genesis. He exemplifies the marriage that we're supposed to have by one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. And anything other than God's example is a deviancy. And so we shouldn't demand of the Lord that we have a word when God gives us an example. God exemplified the Sabbath. And there was no Sabbath command the first week. But God exemplified that. God exemplified marriage of a man and a woman. No command there. Anyway, we leave that aside because here we find that Absalom and Amnon are sons of different women. Now, we go on further. It says David had a lovely sister. We're told that she is a beautiful young girl. Her name was Tamar. And it says that Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, what does this mean? Oh, this is good to unfold because we all get in these kinds of problems in relationships. We want something that is across the border. You know, it might be a new car. It might be a different job. It might be honor where God has not given us honor. And so we lust after more honor in our lives. But we know that these things are across the line. Amnon should have known that God allowed intermarriage like this early on in the human race because of the need to proliferate the race. But God covered that with certain graces and amazing fecundity in the women. And so there were thousands and millions of people produced both before and after the flood. But still, God holds up his creational paradigm of Adam and Eve as that great example of what we are to do. So when Amnon developed this love for his sister, what should he have done with that? What should he have done? Well, he should have focused on the positive. He should have thought to himself, this is my stepsister Tamar. She's a beautiful young girl. Praise the Lord that God has given in our larger family through a different mother than myself. Praise the Lord that God has given to our larger family such beauty. And it says, in the next verse, it says that she was a virgin. The implication here is that she was a very pure young woman, that her attractiveness was made more attractive by her purity. You know, a negative example is that so many of the so-called girly magazines, the soft porn of the publishing industry, especially in my generation, not so much today, well, even today, I suppose, but so much of it, they will focus on the good girls or girls that are more pure, because they find that more tantalizing to their sense of sin, to their desires. Well, this was a Tamar situation. She was not only beautiful, but she was innocent and she was good. And so this should have doubly. I mean, the Amnon should have run headfirst into a wall, you know, rather than cultivating romantic notions about his daughter. He should have slapped himself. Amnon, what are you thinking? You should have talked to counselors if need be. When we're faced with temptations, we know that they're wrong. If we can't overcome them, then we need to get other people praying for us. The last thing we should do is give ourselves over to these things. But Amnon didn't do that. And in fact, it says in verse 2 that he was so distressed over his sister that he became sick. Psychologically speaking, he was obsessed with this thing. He let himself go way over the line. You see, brothers and sisters, we have power over our temptations. We have power over our capacity to sin. We are not helpless in the face of sin. If you take that drug, if you drink those drinks in excess, if you eat those foods in excess, whatever it is, you may get to the point where you're out of control, where you don't have control over yourself. But especially at the beginning of temptation, we have a whole lot of power. Amnon could have cast his eyes over the other daughters of Israel. Said, Amnon, you stupid thing. You take your eyes off your sister-in-law, or your stepsister, and focus on some of the other worthy ladies of Israel, young women of Israel. Are you not the king's son? Are you not someone who would be considered a fine catch by the other women in Israel? See, he had all these advantages going for him, and yet what did he do? He gave himself over to these illicit conceptions, to these fantasies that were illegal, to such a degree that he became sick over those things. You see what we can do if we give ourselves over to sin, to delusion, to weakness, to frailty, to things that are forbidden. We can actually become sick. Does the sickness then justify the sin? Of course not. It only justifies condemnation on the part of God. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Now this is the crux of the sermon. But Amnon had a friend, a kind of a protege of Satan, so that this friend, quote friend, could help Amnon to do the thing, even though he was sick, even though he was obsessed. He didn't have the courage to do the thing that was forbidden to do, but Amnon had a friend. What kind of a friend are we to each other? Are we friends that work for each other's good? Do we know what's good? And then if we know what's good, will we help each other to do what is right? Amnon had a friend. Now listen to what it says about Jonadab. It says, Jonadab was another relative of his. He was a cousin, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. Now, look what it says at the end of verse 3. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. Amnon had a friend who was a crafty man. Is this a good thing? Is this what God calls us to be? What is a crafty man? A crafty man is someone who tries to see what webs of deceit and evil he can do to circumvent the Lord, to get around him, to manipulate the things that God says. So much of the political talk today that we hear on television is crafty language. I couldn't believe that after the hearing this past week, when Mr. Mueller made such a complete fool of himself, revealing in the testimony that he had not really been the head of this committee, that he hardly knew what was in the committee, what was in the work of the committee himself. Some of the answers and the answers he gave to questions were just unbelievable. And, I mean, besides the fact of appearing senile, he gave rise to the understanding that all of this was a plot. And that the worst parts of his committee were really in control. And everybody, for the last 2.5 years, people are saying, well, Mr. Mueller is an old, retired Marine. He's honorable. And he would not stoop to do what has been alluded here that has been done. But the Marine was off duty. The Marine wasn't in control. Now, even liberals, David Axelrod, just amazing. David Axelrod tweeted while this was going on. He said, this is a painful, painful, double the word, painful, painful experience. Others almost immediately said, this is a catastrophe. This is a debacle. These are the words that the Democrats were using of themselves. But within a day or two of that hearing, see, the hearing just really put on display for the watching world what the truth was of this whole last 2.5 years. But within a couple days, the spinmeisters, the crafty men, see, that's what Jonadab was. He was a crafty man. It's good to be crafty if you work with woodcrafts. Not good to be crafty if you're a politician or a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or something like that. Jonadab was a crafty man. And so Jonadab makes the suggestion in verse 4. He said, why? Well, first of all, like Satan, he asks this supposedly innocent question. Why are you the king's son? Building up Amnon in his own mind that he was the king's son. Why should anything be withheld with him? From him, he was the king's son. Why are you the king's son, becoming thinner every day? Was he really becoming thinner? Maybe he was. But in the mind of a crafty man, this is a way of getting to him. Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. So Jonadab said to him, lie down in your bed, pretend to be ill, and when your father, yada yada, he spins out this idea, this plan, this scheme. Amnon was already in enough problem, in enough trouble all by himself with his giving himself over to fantasy and delusion and transgression. Amnon had enough problem of his own. But the crisis here was that Amnon had a friend. Amnon had a friend. What kind of a friend do we want to be? So we know the rest of the story. Amnon spun it out. When his sister got into proximity with him and when he obtained privacy so that he couldn't be stopped by outsiders or people that were there, he grabbed his sister and he forced himself upon her sexually. And then unbelievably, almost as soon as the deed was done, what does the Bible say? Verse 15. It says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, and he threw her out of his house. What is this? If Amnon, what this is almost a psychological paradigm. Amnon at first was obsessed with the girl's beauty. As soon as he possesses that beauty in the sexual encounter, then he comes to hate her and be repulsed by her. Very often we're repulsed by the very sin that we do. You know, let's take a simple sin like eating, you know, and you know you should eat in a certain way, but you don't. One day, donut truck has an accident out in front of your house, and donuts are spilled all over the place, and they're going to be thrown away. So you scoop up all the, now if this was me, I would go for the jelly donuts and also the Boston creams, you know, the chocolate on top of the cream inside, you know. And I'd say, oh, they can't sell these now. I might as well find the clean ones that are on the ground and put those back in a box. And, you know, and then I'd go and, you know, just stuff myself. But what would my feeling be as soon as that was done? And I started to get sick from all the sugar hitting my system. I think I'd hate myself. And, Dick, what in the world do you do? You were a glutton for this junk. You'd hate yourself. That's the way it is with sin. There's only one way to be happy. Happy is the man who walks in the way of the godly. Psalm 1. Who doesn't do this and does do that. Who makes no room for our temptation. How good we feel when we're righteous and how guilty we feel when we're unrighteous. How good we feel when we abstain from sin. How bad do we feel when we indulge ourselves in sin. And so this is lived out in front of us here with this story. Verse 15, then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Now, she, unbelievably, she evidently was willing to marry him. She says, you go, before he takes her, she says, go to your father David. Certainly he would allow you to have me as a wife. But he won't do that. He has to be profligate and absolutely wicked with his obsession. But as soon as he's satiated, he hates the poor woman. And so she tears her garments and puts ashes on her head and goes out. She comes back to her house. It's interesting. In verse 20, Absalom says to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? See, Amnon is somewhat of a crafty man himself. He knows the way of sin. He gave full rein to sin later on in his life to rebel against his father. So he sleuths out. He has a foretaste of the sin of his brother Amnon. It says in verse 21 that David heard these things. He was very angry. David was very angry, but what? David did nothing. David did nothing. Absalom, verse 22, spoke to his brother Amnon neither good nor bad. The reason? For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now, the brothers might not have been favorites before, but from this day forth, there was a root of bitterness that took seed in Absalom's heart. And it ended up, not just this, but some others like it, it ended up ripping the kingdom of Israel in half. Why? Because Amnon had a friend. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that we might be aware of the dynamic power of evil in our lives. Oh God, as you taught us to pray, keep us from evil. Keep us from temptation. Do not allow us to enter into the toxic waters that Amnon entered. And we pray, oh Lord, that instead of having toxic friends like Jonadab, pray that we would have friends of righteousness. We pray that we would be friends of righteousness with each other. That we would be aware of how sin is ready to flare up like a forest fire in every relationship of our lives. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst protect us from the incineration, from the flames. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wouldst protect us from destruction. We pray, O Lord, for Thy grace. We are not strong enough, O Lord, to protect ourselves if we must rely upon ourselves.
But with thy grace, O Lord, with the walls of our heart strengthened, thou canst enable us to be righteous men and women and children before the Lord. Bless us, O Lord, with thy grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.